Hello, welcome to episode 52 of All In With Kevin. I am your host, Kevin Lewis. In today's episode, I'm going to discuss the fantasy ramifications of Cam Akers tearing his Achilles, both in the short term and the long term. I'm going to discuss Michael Thomas's injury and how you should approach the Saints players, including Michael Thomas, in drafts. And the Aaron Rodgers retirement report, I guess, if you want to call it that. Not that we have heard from him, because, well, we haven't heard from him throughout the majority of this process. But apparently Sportsbook thinks he's a threat to retire next week, and they're pulling bets involving the Packers and, you know, the division they're in and so on and so forth. They're pulling lines off of the market, so we will discuss that. But I'll start with Cam Akers. First of all, I feel terrible for him. Like, rookie running back drafted in round 3, I believe he was, last season in the NFL draft. Had a nice end of his rookie year. Was primed to get a lot of looks, a lot of touches on a really good offensive team. Score a lot of touchdowns and the works, and fucked up his Achilles working out. It's tough for him, and it's especially tough for running backs in general, especially when you're not, like, the guy, because we don't know what this does to his potential future earnings. We don't know how he's going to recover. It's a long way from now. Like, it's a lot of guesswork, but Cam Akers, we don't know quite how talented he is yet. There are quite a few people who evaluate running backs for a living or whatever, or who know more about this than I do, who think that he is not necessarily a middling talent, but he's not an upper tier kind of talent either. So it wouldn't be surprising if Darrell Henderson took the job and ran with it. It would not be surprising if Cam Akers' dynasty, his dynasty perspective, even when he comes back from the injury, is way less promising than it was before he got hurt. Because, again, it wouldn't be a surprise if Darrell Henderson took the job. Like, based on what I see, I mean, I know the eye test is faulty. I'm not a professional scout. Never claimed to be. I'm just a man with a Twitter account and some eyes who watches the game, just like a lot of y'all. But Darrell Henderson just looks better to me. And he's between the tackles wise, he's just explosive. Like, he can catch the ball, and now he has lead back duties in one of the best offenses in football. Now, I think this might end up in him being overdrafted by the time drafts come around, especially like if he shows out in training camp in the preseason. Like, I'm not actively trying to draft him in round 2. I thought Cam Akers might have been overdrafted in the first place when he was going to round 1, because it's a lot to draft that dude based off of, what, like, 5 games? That's what we were doing. So I think Darrell Henderson might end up being overdrafted, but there's a lot of promise there. And long term, if you have dynasty, if you have Darrell Henderson in dynasty leagues, you might be set up well. Like, he might take that job and he might run for it, run with it. And I know you didn't pay much for him. So if you have Darrell Henderson from a dynasty perspective, you might be in good shape. Cam Akers, that asset is not looking great at the moment. I feel for him. I feel for the dynasty owners. I feel for everybody, but mostly him, because we don't know where his career goes from here. Like, that might feel dark, I guess, is the way to put it. But, I mean, he's a running back who was drafted in round 3. Yes, the Rams like him, but, again, if Darrell Henderson takes that job and runs with it, then what? And I mean, it's hard enough to recover from an Achilles as is. I'd be saying the same thing. Like, an ACL injury doesn't quite move the goalposts like that anymore, because we've seen so many guys recover from it and be either the same or better. But even if it was an ACL injury, I'd be saying the same stuff, because again, if Daryl Henderson takes the job and runs with it, then what? It's tough. But as far as the current ramifications, I would draft Daryl Henderson around round 4. I think he's a top 20 running back. Where exactly, I'm not sure. I will have more on that when I do the running back rankings next week. But as far as the right now, the short term, I think he's a top 20 back. I think the St. Louis, Jesus. The LA Rams receivers get a little bit of a boost. Like, they might throw a tad more now that Akers is out. I don't think it's going to be anything wild, but I think they're going to throw a tad more now that he's out. So, you know, give a slight boost to Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee. But overall, I would strongly advise drafting Daryl Henderson. I would also strongly advise not to overdraft him, especially given that a running back signing or trade with the Rams that slices a little bit into Henderson's playing time and carry potential is definitely coming. Now, if it's Todd Gurley, I wouldn't sweat it because Todd Gurley looked cooked for the last 2 years, so I wouldn't sweat it at that point. But I mean, NFL coaches are going to do what they do, so Todd Gurley is definitely going to come in and get some looks for no reason. But I wouldn't sweat it too much if it was him. But I would draft Henderson with a pretty good amount of confidence. All right, so in more injury news, hopefully this is not a theme of this offseason where we're just going to get up here and have to cover every single injury, like pup list stuff and all that. Like anybody trying to do all this all summer? So I hope these guys stay healthy. But Michael Thomas got hurt. Well, not got hurt. He was hurt. Excuse me. I believe he had an ankle surgery already from in between the end of the season to now. So he's having another one. We don't exactly know how long Michael Thomas is out for. But the based on the timeline we're reading, like there are people saying he could be back in October. There are people saying he could be back in December. Nobody knows, but I'm going to assume the worst case scenario for the sake of my discussion. Jameis or Taysom, whichever one starts, I have zero interest in drafting them as it is, as constructed. I wasn't excited to draft either one to begin with. Like Taysom Hill, I guess a little bit more than Jameis, I guess. If he starts, because the running potential is there, but I wasn't excited to draft either one of those dudes. I was very much looking forward to Michael Thomas because I feel like he was getting discounted a bit because of the quarterback change, but I think he was good enough where the quarterback wasn't necessarily going to matter for him. Like I would have drafted Michael Thomas as a top, let's say, 3 wide receiver. With no kind of hesitation. Well, maybe not drafting him as I would have thought he was a top 3 wide receiver. You didn't have to draft him as that. But I wouldn't have been surprised if he finished top 3 at wide receiver, and you were getting him at really good prices. Like round 2, round 3 was the last I checked with ADP. So I think it's unfortunate that he got hurt for everybody involved in the Saints offense. I think Kamara gets a slight boost because I think he's going to get more passes in his direction. I thought that the Saints were going to be a run-first offense to begin with. I still think the Saints are going to be a run-first offense. I think Latavius Murray also gets a slight boost because as good as Kamara is, and he is arguably the best running back in football, they don't want him getting 25 carries a game, 30. Like that's not how they want to use him. Like they want to use him as the 17 carry a game guy with 5 or 6 catches or whatever. They're not really trying to give him 25, 30 carries. So I expect Latavius Murray to get some work. Am I running to draft him? No. Can he give you some flex viable weeks during this time? Sure. Absolutely. Why not? But, as far as the rest of the Saints wide receiver, first of all, the Saints have been ignoring wide receiver for a long time as far as draft capital goes. they've been ignoring that for a long time, and it feels like unless they make some kind of trade with somebody right now, that finally that's going to come back to bite them in the ass, because they have what, Tre'Quan Smith, and that's all I can name right now. I can't name anybody else in their wide receiver core. I think they're going to sign somebody. I will not be surprised if they sign like a Golden Tate type to take those Michael Thomas reps. I can't see anybody who's on the free agent market that would make me change a whole lot as far as my viewpoint or rankings or whatever. But would I draft Tre'Quan Smith? I guess. I'm not super excited about Tre'Quan Smith because he hasn't given me a reason to be super excited. But he's not a bad NFL wide receiver. So if you could draft him at a reasonable price, draft him. He's going to see a boost in ADP. So there's also that. But I'm not super excited to draft Tre'Quan Smith. Now, I will say this, though. Adam Trautman is somebody that I like. I've liked since last year based on the stuff that I'm reading. He was an excellent receiving tight end at Dayton. And last year amongst tight ends on PFF, he had the number one run blocking grade. Now, I understand how people feel about PFF, and I understand that some of the stuff that they say is a little wild, but the run blocking grade is pretty straightforward. Regardless of how they got to that information, yes, they get to that kind of information watching every snap, blah blah blah, and that's how their grades graded out. So Adam Trautman should not be seeing he's not going to be coming off the field on second down because he can't block. They could put him on the field in whatever down and distance that they want, which is important, which is critical for a tight end. It's similar to running backs in that way, where running backs who can't block, their fantasy upside is limited a little bit, depending on the context. Because you block or catch, really. Because you're looking at, okay, third downs, he got to be off the field. You know, second and eights, he might not be on the field, for example. Trautman should be on the field for everything. There's no real reason to blatantly just sit him. So I like his potential. There are a lot of tight ends in that range, and like the Hunter Henrys and the Jonnu Smiths and the Zach Ertzes and the Logan Thomases. There's a lot of tight ends in that range, and you can flip a coin. I wouldn't pick Logan Thomas, for example, because Ryan Fitzpatrick has never really been known to hit the tight end a lot. So I wouldn't take him, but generally speaking, there's a lot of guys in that territory. You know, Austin Hooper and Anthony Firkser and like Eric Ebron and Gerald Everett and all those dudes. Like, basically, you can kind of flip a coin between them. Adam Trautman is attached to one of the best offensive coaches in the NFL's history, and he's on a team now where their number one target is gone. So would it be surprising if Trautman was second on the team in targets while Michael Thomas was out? No. So throwing a dart at him is not exactly the worst idea in the world. I think it's a good one, and I like the player. So I think he gets the biggest boost here of the Saints players outside of Kamara. No, I think he gets a bigger boost than Kamara. Kamara was top five regardless. So the only thing that might change with Kamara is I think this kind of makes Kamara versus Dalvin Cook an interesting discussion, whereas before it was kind of a no-brainer. I think it's an interesting discussion. I would still take Cook for my own reasons, because I think the Vikings' offense is probably going to be a little better than the Saints. And Dalvin Cook's volume is just more bankable. But he gets a boost nonetheless. Trautman also gets a boost. Tre'Quan Smith, I guess, gets a boost, although I'm not really thrilled. I'm not really excited to draft him. And I think Michael Thomas, as of right now, is probably in like the 40s among wide receivers, because, I mean, you just don't know when he's going to be back. Now, obviously, he might smoke his timetable and come back way earlier than he should. I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but if he does and it ends up being a good thing, you might have gotten an extreme discount on draft day, because everybody's panicked about Michael Thomas, as they should be. So who the hell knows when he's actually going to get drafted? But I would draft him in the 40s. In Dynasty, if you're doing a Dynasty startup, I'm not exactly sure I would draft him. Probably like round 4, I guess. Yeah, round 4 sounds about right. And for those who are for those who are in Dynasty leagues with people who have Michael, your opponent has Michael Thomas, I would throw an offer out there and see how are they feeling about Michael Thomas, and see what's up. It can't hurt, and see just how impatient they can be. If it's a win now team, they might have a reason to sell Michael Thomas for less than what they could get for him normally, because well, he's not going to help them win. So I would throw out feelers on Michael Thomas if you are in a dynasty league and you have a maybe a longer term kind of need, or you just like discounts. I would throw out an offer on Michael Thomas to see what happens. All right, so before I get out of here, we will talk about the Packers and sportsbook adjusting their odds and such, because they think Aaron Rodgers is a retirement threat for this week. So from a reality perspective, also, by the way, contract talks with the Packers and Davante Adams broke down also, and apparently he's pissed off too. So the Packers are just doing a fucking bang up job, pissing everybody off. All of the great players of Green Bay are pissed off. Who's going to be next? Like, we got Rodgers mad, we got Davante mad, who's next? And both of them posted it, both of them shared a photo of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen on Instagram. I want to say it was last night, yesterday. This is being recorded on Sunday morning. I want to say that was either yesterday night or Friday night. But given the rumor that we heard about Aaron Rodgers in the group chat comparing Brian Gutekunst to Jerry Krause, and I mean, we know why, because they were breaking up the team. Because Jerry Krause broke up the Bulls, whatever. That was the direct comp. And now that post from both of them on Friday night says what needs to be said. They're both pissed off. And I don't know if Davante wants out. We don't have anything official. But we know that Aaron Rodgers ain't trying to be there. So yeah, from a reality standpoint, I mean, I've said my fair share about the Packers and how they've handled things. I thought fresh off of an NFC title game appearance, trading up for a quarterback and then taking a running back in round 2 was colossally stupid. I am not as down on them for the Jordan Love pick as others are, because I thought Rodgers had looked like he was declining. Like, I know we love to revise history based on results, and as I've said on this podcast a bunch, I am a process guy more than a results guy. Like, yes, the results, obviously, they have to come at some point, especially if we're talking about front office people, coaches, whatever. They have to come at some point. Like, you can only sell process for so long. But if the process is sound, I'm just not going to be mad at what the results are if they're bad. Like, you could be mad at the players, I guess. Sure. I mean, you could be mad at whatever you want. I'm talking about me. But I'm just like, if you do the right shit, if you do shit that makes sense and it just doesn't work, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't fucking work. So I didn't understand why they did that. And then they extended Aaron Jones after they took a guy in round 2 to conceivably, you would think, replace him. That didn't make any sense either. So here we are. They kind of deserve this for a lot of reasons. They've surrounded Aaron Rodgers with largely bullshit defenses for the majority of his tenure. People get caught up in, oh, how can you guys say Aaron Rodgers is no help when, you know, he's had Jordy Nelson, he's had this, he's had that. And I mean, to an extent, that's fair as far as the offensive side. Like, Aaron Rodgers, but the thing is, Aaron Rodgers having help is more about Aaron Rodgers than anything else. Like, guys like that, you could draft, you don't need wonderful wide receivers. And I mean, Devontae's great. Would Devontae look as good if Aaron Rodgers wasn't his quarterback? Probably not. He's still great, but would he be as great? No. Jordy Nelson, you could say the same thing for, et cetera, et cetera. So as long as Aaron Rodgers is alive, you're pretty much going to have a good receiving core. Like, they're going to produce like a good receiving core at the very bare minimum. So I understand that the offense the he doesn't have, well, he didn't draft, they didn't draft any skill players in round one. I think that particular argument is overblown because they haven't had to. Again, you have Aaron Rodgers. Like, the threshold that you have to cross to get good offensive players is not as high. It's just not. Now, what they should be mad at is that they haven't done that, and then they still manage to have garbage defenses for his entire tenure. That doesn't add up. Like, you haven't been drafting offensive support in round one and round two for the most part, which I get, and I'm not saying that you necessarily should have, but you're doing that. Like, you're not giving him, I'm not gonna say help, but you're not using capital on players around Aaron Rodgers specifically, but also are giving him trash defenses at the same time. That can't work. Like, you're getting the avenue to use capital on defense because Rodgers' presence alone makes you a good offense, and yet you have still fumbled to the point where, again, your defense has cost you in a lot of different playoff settings. And they've been, like, I want to say the defense has given up like 33 points a game in Rodgers' playoff losses in his career. Like, there's no way to work around that, really. I don't care who you are. You're not going to win if your defenses are going to give up 33 points a game in the playoffs. You're just not. So the Packers deserve this. From a fantasy perspective, I mean, everybody in the team takes a hit. I don't think that's not rocket science. Everybody in the team takes a hit. Maybe we got to start preparing for life with Jordan Love. I will say this though, don't let Davante Adams fall too far in your draft. Like, yes, obviously, as I just said, Davante Adams is not going to be as good with Jordan Love as he would with Aaron Rodgers. This is not breaking news. Do I still think he is a, top of the second round, mid second round kind of wide receiver? Yes, because I mean, he produced with Brett Hundley. I forget what the numbers are, but it was something like, I want to say it was like a 1,200 yard, eight touchdown kind of pace, something like that. It wasn't anything that was going to blow your mind, but it was pretty good. I mean, look, man. All right, I found the stat. In 2017, we saw half a season with Brett Hundley at quarterback, and this was Adams' 16 game pace. 136 targets, 92 receptions, 1,092 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Is that wide receiver one overall? No. Is that still comfortably a top 10 kind of wide receiver? Yes. Will that happen again? We don't know. But I would not adjust. I would drop Davante Adams a tad, but I wouldn't go too crazy. Robert Tonyan would be completely undraftable for me. Like, I didn't want to draft Robert Tonyan anyway, because Robert Tonyan scored like 12 touchdowns on like 50 targets last year in the most unsustainable fashion. He was really good, but there's no way that would ever hold up. So I don't want to draft him anyway. Alan Lazard, you could ignore. MVS, you could ignore. Again, this is all assuming that Aaron Rodgers retires or gets traded or whatever. So, but we're focused on the retirement because that's the angle that they're running with right now. I wouldn't draft any of their wide receivers. Aaron Jones, I would draft him because, well, he's Aaron Jones. He's extremely efficient on the ground. And assuming that the Packers are worse, I'm gonna assume that there's gonna be times where they're gonna have to throw the ball to Aaron Jones specifically because, they're trailing 30 to 14 or 30 to 17 or whatever, and they're gonna have to be in throw mode to get back in the game. So ultimately, Aaron Jones, I think his stock is unmoved. The package receivers all go down, obviously. Adams, let's not get too crazy with it, and I think Robert Tonyan is just undraftable under these circumstances. And I mean, I would also give AJ Dillon a look, generally speaking, because if Aaron Jones gets hurt, he should be pretty valuable. And you would think that the Packers would run the ball more. I mean, they ran the ball a lot last year with Rodgers playing at an MVP level, so they're damn sure you would think they're going to run the ball even more with Jordan Love in the lineup if it comes to it. So Jones unmoved. Pass catchers down. Also, just like Michael Thomas, I would send an offer for Davante Adams if in your dynasty league and see if the guy is a little impatient. But I would send an offer out. it should be an interesting offseason slash training camp, and we'll see where it goes. Rodgers' watch has been in full bloom since like April. Like, it's been every day on TV, on the sports shows. Like, what did Rodgers do today? And it's just, I mean, here we are now. The latest is Sportsbook apparently having an inkling that he might retire. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, that is my time. Before I get out of here, I would like to implore you to listen to the Middle Initial podcast featuring Andrew L. Case, Drew Jackson, and as of last week, myself. We discuss the latest sports-related topics. Rate, review, and subscribe to that podcast. The podcast No One Asked For with Kyle, Paulie, and Jordan, as they discuss current pop culture topics. Give them a listen. Rate, review, and subscribe for their podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe for my podcast too. And I will see you next week for the running backs preview. Thank you.
Point I'm trying to tell you, son, is be yourself. People don't like how you be yourself. Fuck them. Fuck them up against the wall. Wear handcuffs on them and crash it through on their lips. That's all you do.
Words to live by.
You live by them, son.